Well, welcome everyone. Good morning. This is Prairie Unitarian Universalist Society. My name is Dan Proud. My pronouns are he, him, and his. And I've been a member of Prairie for 19 years. I'm on the membership committee and on the board of trustees with Prairie. So today we'll not have a minister with us. We're a do-it-yourself congregation right now. So Prairie aspires to be both an open-hearted and an open-minded congregation. We welcome people of all ethnic and religious backgrounds, whatever your color, sexual orientation, family structure, age, or abilities. During our virtual coffee hour at the end of the service, we invite you all to introduce yourselves, especially your guests and visitors. We'd like to get to know you a little bit better. And we also have joys and concerns during that time. So we have a few announcements today. We're sharing our offering this quarter with the Allied Wellness Center. The Wellness Center is a neighborhood center with the purpose of promoting health and wellness of the mind, the body, and the spirit of people living in the Allied Belmar and Dunn's Marsh neighborhoods. Every Monday at 4:30 p.m., Virtual Dungeons and Dragons Beginners Group is meeting. And on Fridays at 4:30, the Advanced Group of Dungeons and Dragons meets virtually. Wednesday is Fun Night this week at 6:30. And all are welcome. And I understand this isn't just for kids and families, it's for everybody. Saturday the 25th is Creativity and Connection with Peggy Small. I believe Renee has a couple more announcements about upcoming services.
I do indeed. So the 26th, the coming Sunday, is the annual joint service with SOC. And I think it's the Free Congregation of SOC County is the long name. And a couple of things, because we're going to do small group breakouts, the topic is social justice reflections. You can't record breakouts. Zoom doesn't allow that. So if you want to participate, you need to come this coming Sunday. And the time is slightly different. Their services always start at 10:10 for an unknown reason. So if you want to get here at 10, that's fine. But just so you know, it's going to start at 10:10 this coming week. And then the following week is this August 2nd. And we are going to celebrate Holly's time as our director of religious education. And Holly, cover your ears so that you don't hear this part, although you probably have heard it already. And if you can bring a flower, we're going to do like a virtual bouquet. So if you have a flower in your yard that you can pick for that service, and bring it onto Zoom. We'll have something fun that we can all celebrate together. And it's also going to be talking about the RE plans for this coming year as well. So it's not just for those with kids. It's for all. The service is for everyone. We're all going to celebrate together. So even if you don't have children, doesn't matter. We hope that we see everyone on the second. And Amber will be doing live music. Yay! How exciting! So she agreed to do live music on Zoom. So we will see her playing live on Zoom on the 2nd. So those are my announcements.
Okay, thank you, Renee. We will now have our chalice lighting, and John Gernot will do the reading. Go ahead, John.
Look at you, still standing after being knocked down and thrown out. Look at you, still growing after being pricked and plucked and prodded out of your home. Look at you, still dancing, still singing, after being defeated and disassembled. Look at you, love, still here and hopeful after it all.
Now we will have a moment of silent meditation. Renee will read the story for all ages.
All right. So this story is The Rabbit Listened, and it's by Corey Dorfeld. It's picked out by Suzanne. It's a large book, I think. All right. One day, Taylor decided to build something, something new, something special. Something amazing. Taylor was so proud. But then, out of nowhere, things came crashing down. Normally, when I'm reading with kids, I'd say, how do you think Taylor is feeling? The chicken was the first to notice.
Cluck, cluck! What a shame! I'm so sorry, sorry, sorry this happened! Let's talk about it! Cluck, cluck, cluck!
But Taylor didn't feel like talking, so the chicken left. Next came the bear.
Grr, roar, how horrible. I bet you feel so angry. Let's shout about it. Grr, roar.
But Taylor didn't feel like shouting, so the bear left. The elephant knew just what to do.
Hempada, I can fix this. We just need to remember exactly the way things were.
But Taylor didn't feel like remembering. So the elephant left. One by one they came. The hyena, hee, let's laugh about it. The ostrich, gulp, let's hide and pretend nothing happened. The ostrich. Hyena. The kangaroo, tisk, tisk, what a mess. Let's throw it all away. And the snake, shh, let's go knock someone else's. Poor snakes always get the bad rap, I feel like, in books. But Taylor didn't feel like doing anything with anybody. So eventually, they all left. Until Taylor was alone. In the quiet, Taylor didn't even notice the rabbit. But it moved closer and closer until Taylor could feel its warm body. Together they sat in silence until Taylor said, "Please stay with me." The rabbit listened. The rabbit listened as Taylor talked. The rabbit listened as Taylor shouted. The rabbit listened as Taylor remembered and laughed. The rabbit listened to Taylor's plans to hide and throw everything away, to ruin things for someone else. Through it all, the rabbit never left. And when the time was right, the rabbit listened to Taylor's plan to build again. "I can't wait," Taylor said. "It's going to be amazing." And for me, the important part that I was thinking about was how important it was to wait and listen till Taylor said what Taylor wanted. Because the other animals all thought they knew, but really Taylor needed to say what Taylor wanted. And I also was thinking about that sometimes we go through a bunch of those things. Like sometimes I want people to laugh with me. Sometimes I want people to cry. Sometimes I want listening. Sometimes I want to vent with someone. So I think it is really important that we ask people, what do you want? So that's the story.
Thank you, Renee. Well, today we're excited to have Jake King, who's going to present NAMI Dane County, our organization during COVID-19. It's related to our second principle, justice, equity, and compassion in human relations. Jake is the program and outreach coordinator for NAMI, which is the National Alliance on Mental Illness for Dane County. He oversees all the programming, which consists of peer-led support groups, educational classes, and presentations. Jake also oversees the outreach to promote these programs and develop relationships with the community. Welcome, Jake.
Thank you. I'm super excited to be here with everyone. And usually during COVID, I would still be asleep. So I'm grateful for John and Suzanne to get me out of bed to do something very productive and spend it Zoom-wise with people. So I'm very excited. So I'll go ahead and start the screen share. Let's see. So, and I'm trusting if anyone has any issues seeing it or hearing me, I'll look for some sort of signal so I can stop. All right, so can we all see the presentation all right? Awesome. And I'm assuming the volume and my sound you can hear? Awesome, great. And I'm just going to set a timer so I can just be mindful of time. So I'll set that for 15. All right. So NAMI Dane County, which if you're not familiar with the acronym, it's the National Alliance on Mental Illness for Dane or in Dane County. And this is our affiliate, the Dane County one. And just interesting backstory is that the really interesting thing is that it started right here in Dane County. It's an international organization, but it found its roots right here in 1977. And there were three mothers and their sons were experiencing schizophrenia. And the system just wasn't working and the resources just weren't there. And they just got tired of the system, kind of failing their children. And there wasn't really any support. And there was a lot of stigma, of course, the labeling of crazy and broken and all these other really, you know, difficult words that were used to describe people and sometimes even now still are. So they formed what was originally AMI, which AMI is friend in French. And it was the Alliance on Mental Illness, and eventually it became the National Alliance on Mental Illness. So this is just a helpful breakdown because some people do get confused. So when I say we're the affiliate level, affiliates usually go by county. So we have a lot of different ones throughout Wisconsin in different counties. And then also in Madison is NAMI Wisconsin. And that's the state affiliate. And so we all have different responsibilities on what we do. So essentially the affiliate on the local level will provide those local resources. And we don't provide any clinical resources, but or in the form of like direct services, but what we do provide is education about local resources and educating family members and the individual experiencing a mental health issue. And all that is for free. And we also help them navigate the mental health resource system because fortunately in Dane County, there are a lot of resources, which is really great, but navigating those and understanding what you're eligible for and what you qualify for, it's not so simple. And so a lot of people turn to us for that. So the state level kind of oversees things on, you know, as that state level. So they'll work with legislation. They will make sure the affiliates have the support they need. They're kind of working to be, you know, a helpful backbone for the local level. And then obviously there's national. National just kind of oversees everything, as you can imagine. And they help design a lot of educational content that kind of filters down to the local affiliates. So that's kind of just the structure of how NAMI works. Again, NAMI Wisconsin is in Madison, but we are the ones that provide more of the support and services for local residents here. So if you've never been to our office, and it's probably going to be a long time before anyone does, we are on the east side in the United Way building. So we have a lot of our support groups that run in the United Way building. Usually we can have, you know, whether it's family members or consumers who just need support or looking for resources, they can come into our office. But again, right now that's a little irrelevant just because COVID. This is our happy staff before COVID, when we were locked into our houses all the time. Anna Moff is our executive director. Lucy Price is our communications and policy coordinator, and obviously me, the program and outreach. But as you can see, we are a really small staff of three. There's just three people who are doing all this work. And I think sometimes people, it gets confusing of like, oh, you know, sometimes when you see people with small staff, you can interpret that as like, oh, there must just not be a lot of like need or resources or whatever. And it's very funny that it's switched. We're actually like very busy. We're kind of each our own department. So it just gets, there's a ton of stuff to do. And it's really great because there's such a need here in Dane County. So it's great to be able to offer those services and support. So really how things are kind of broken down in terms of, you know, if someone wants to come and get involved and what that looks like is we have educational roles, support roles, and then fundraising roles. And of course, there's always efforts for advocacy, and that kind of is more for educational support roles. Essentially, these are the services and things that we offer. Our programming is really about educating both the family member and the individual with the mental health issue. And that comes in the form of its courses that really put you in contact with other family members to develop that peer support, but also learning from people who actually have that lived experience. And I think it's really important to add that is that all of our instructors are individuals who have gone through a NAMI training and they've been screened and they have that lived experience. So you're not being taught by someone who just doesn't understand or can't relate. You're being taught by someone who's kind of been there before and can really walk you through obviously both the written content, but also just life experiences. And I think that's just really invaluable. We do a lot of presentations because one thing that I really agree with our executive director is the initiative to work with youth. I think it's kind of the mentality of how can we help youth, you know, if they're struggling severely with mental health issues and not let it escalate to the point of their adults and their behavior is presenting in ways where it's just like, you know, they need a lot of help, but how can we help them when they're at their youngest? So we do ending the silence to talk about with youth about, you know, things like suicide prevention, noticing suicide, noticing mental health issues early in yourself or with your peers and where to go. You know, we do a hearing voices presentation to show people what it's like and to develop more empathy. If you're working or coming into contact with someone who has auditory hallucinations, and a lot of these kind of the basis for is how can we break the stigma that people with a mental health issue are, you know, crazy or broken, but how can we take a more understanding and empathetic view? And also how can we help them? And then we also run 4 support groups, connecting support, bipolar depression, women's anxiety and depression, and the NAMI family support group. So we really try to take kind of a holistic approach and how can we help everyone and include everyone with, you know, supporting them through this, you know, this journey of struggling with a mental health issue and what it looks like, because it's so individual for every person. And then, and just a little bit, I'll explain, you know, I created this presentation, we were allowed to meet in person, and then I'll explain shortly of what these now look like during COVID and how we're still offering them. Again, the educational roles, we really want anyone that has a lived experience to be able to come and share their story. So we always provide a space for that. And especially, you know, if it's with working with youth or working with, you know, maybe it's individuals who have a disability and also experience a mental health issue. We just want to make sure people with a story are able to tell that story in a way that kind of helps others. Obviously, support is a huge thing. So anyone that wants to get involved and, you know, taking support calls, we do get a lot of support calls. And that's something we try to help individuals, and especially now, that's really important during COVID, where people aren't going out as much or they're skeptical about going out as much. So we have our support line that we offer to help individuals gather or navigate through the mental health resource system here in Dane County. And then, of course, just people who, you know, we're volunteer run. So anyone that just wants to come help and support us, we're always welcoming them and just want people to feel like they have a purpose and a place with us. So I'm going to go ahead and navigate to what we're doing during the pandemic right now, because that's really been a learning curve, especially for me, as it's been my responsibility to figure out, you know, how can we offer what we usually offer in person for the family members and the individuals themselves, just going through this and not having access to the same resources that we normally would. So you'll see here in these three columns, the things that we've been doing online are we've done a NAMI Basics on Demand. And if you're not familiar with all of our programming, a lot of it I've tried to be intentional about how can we help the parents of youth? How can we help the youth? How can we just help everyone that we try to serve? So NAMI Basics is a way that we try to educate the parents with their youth that's presenting signs of mental illness and helping them, you know, learn about resources with law enforcement and therapy. And we've been able to run that class, and it's, you know, had a lot of great success, as well as NAMI Family to Family, which is one of our popular, very popular programs of family members and friends and loved ones can learn how to support their loved one with a mental illness during this time. And an interesting observation that I've observed is that a lot of people have navigated to the support we offer, but a lot of people have wanted to know about education. And my best reasoning or assumption for this would be that during this time where we're in more close quarters with our loved ones, a lot of people maybe have realized they don't have the education or the tools that they need or want to be able to spend day in and day out with their loved one experiencing a mental health issue. So a lot of them have really pursued the educational programming, and it's been great to be able to have instructors, especially like John and Suzanne, who will be teaching a course to offer that education on how to better support people, even if it is through a Zoom platform. So it's just been really encouraging to see that it's still effective. It's not the same, but it's still a way to help those who are struggling and looking for support and education. And then specifically what John and Suzanne will be teaching is NAMI Family and Friends, and they'll be doing a 4-hour session spanned out through a month. And this is just really great to offer those family members and friends who just, they don't really know a lot about mental illness, and they're starting kind of from the building blocks. And, you know, we have a lot of volunteers, instructors like John and Suzanne who have a wealth of experience and knowledge. So it's been really encouraging to tap into those individuals who are trained and willing to offer that to people who just are kind of starting out and don't know how to not only navigate living through this pandemic in this new way, but also doing it with their loved one who is just going through a lot because of their mental illness and just the state of our world. So, you know, some presentations we've done, obviously school's not in session right now, so that hasn't been as common, but we've done some presentations here and there. And a lot of these we try to offer through like recovery centers, faith-based organizations, you know, schools. But I think the next one is really important are the support groups that we're offering on a continuous basis. So again, I really just have to like douse with compliments and all these things about our instructors and volunteers, because if it wasn't for them, we certainly wouldn't be having any impact during COVID. But because they're so willing and just so great, we've been able to offer support groups that run regularly. And it's all of the same of the connecting support, bipolar depression, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But what's been even better is that even if you're not in Dane County, you can still attend these, and they're facilitated by individuals themselves with lived experience who have gone through the NAMI training. So again, I just have to keep plugging in how great our volunteers are, because they've really helped carry our organization and the programming to really help individuals. Because as I'm sure right now, for people that, you know, usually go get their medication or usually go see their therapist or, you know, really thrive off being in a group setting, unfortunately, that's just not really what we can do right now. So a lot of people are looking to like, how can I, you know, sustain my mental health recovery? You know, especially if I really utilize NAMI resources. So again, our volunteers have really been able to make this come to fruition and sustain being able to help the individuals in our community. You know, in addition to that too, our support line is always still running. So our interns and myself always take calls and try to help people who are needing resources and navigating it. And then also we've been doing live town hall Q&A series to talk a bit more about, you know, legislation issues or how do we offer telehealth services and does that cover mental health services? And we've been really trying to advocate for the extension of telehealth services. So yeah, there's just quite a bit going on. And, you know, again, because of our volunteers, we've been able to offer support and education to youth, to adults, to their family members. So I really just have to kind of plug that in again and again, because that's just been so amazing. So I timed myself because I didn't want to ramble. I think sometimes I talk really fast, but I just want to be mindful. So I've got 2 minutes left, but that was really kind of the big things that I really wanted to stress, is how we're offering support online right now. And it just has really blown my mind, because I didn't think it would work, but it's just been proving really successful. And a lot of people have been engaging with our content to be able to just thrive in a different way. So if you have questions, I've just left my email up and the executive director, but usually the questions will go through me if it's about programming or volunteering or support. I think now is the Q&A portion. So I feel like I just vomited all this information on everyone. So if you have questions, I'm certainly happy to take them, and I've got plenty of time. So.
Wait, can you stop sharing your screen? Because then we can see everyone's perfect. Thank you. Thank you for the presentation. So if people have a question for Jake, if you can raise your hand either in the participant box, there should be like a raise hand icon somewhere, or by your name, maybe hover over it, or you can raise your hand actually in your camera. We can look for that too. So I'm going to scan around. I see Eileen, hold on. And you're right at the beginning, so it's easy to unmute you. I see right there. You go, Eileen, go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you for the excellent presentation. I'm so impressed at the number of different ways that you're reaching out, especially during this time. Have you had to adapt to like doing individual phone calls for people who don't have the capacity to use Zoom, or how are you reaching, you know, other families who might not have Zoom capacity, or do you, I'm sure it's even hard to know, except that you have your helpline basically.
Yeah, that's a really good question. So we do come across some individuals who they don't have the Zoom capability, and it's not really something that they're going to adapt to or necessarily want to, and that's okay. If they're looking for support or resources, usually the protocol is they will call. There's no one in the office really to take the call, so they'll leave a voice message, or they'll, because we have on our website where if you, and I probably should have shown this during the presentation and I can go back to it, but if they want to send a question or they just want to explain their story, they can email me and it goes right to my email. And they can email it, or they can put their request in from the page and explain their situation. And usually we can still provide them resources, whether it's through a call or email, and set up a time to do that. So we have still found ways that if Zoom or taking a course through Zoom or going to a support group through Zoom isn't what you're looking for, you can connect with us, and we can help you find more of what you're looking for if we can't provide it. Mm-hmm. And I am real quick, I am going to screen share just for anyone, whether it's yourself or you know someone that could benefit from this, where to go to on our website, because we have a specific page for what we're doing during COVID-19, and it just has a better outline. So I'm just going to share the screen again.
Sure.
Let's see if I can. So I did have a... okay, so if you go to like www.namibanecounty.org, I'm assuming everyone can see my screen.
Yep, we can see it.
So you'll get hit, it doesn't look like this, but it's loading. So you'll get hit with our website. Let's see if I can reload it. Okay. So you'll get hit with our website, and I would say the most important thing is to go to the COVID-19 impact. And if you just scroll down, I mean, for anyone wanting to attend a support group, you can register. Or if you want to know what we're doing right now, I mean, obviously what John and Suzanne are getting ready to teach is up there and open for registration, family to family. So essentially it just explains everything we can offer you right now. And then there are other places on our website, you know, you have, if you want to email us, you know, to get in touch with us. But, you know, I just try to refer people there to see what we're doing and how we can help during this time. So I just thought that was probably helpful to know.
Thank you. Yeah, that was great to see the screen, the website. All right. Does anyone have other questions about the presentation? And I'm assuming, Jake, there's probably a donate button on your website too, right? If you wanted to plug that.
Yeah, absolutely too. So, you know, we are a nonprofit, and you know, one thing I really affirm people is that we offer everything for free. I mean, the manuals that we give to participants, you know, we have like a resource guide that's really well designed from our communications coordinator that helps you navigate through the resources in Wisconsin and in Dane County. All of that's provided for free, and it's provided because we have donations and we have a lot of generosity that we appreciate from the community. So if mental health issues and helping individuals, especially during this time, is something important for you or just something you're willing to consider, we certainly appreciate any donations. And again, it goes to keeping our programming free for anyone that needs it. So.
Awesome. Kathy, did you have your hand raised or not?
I think it was okay. Randy. Yeah.
Well, who was it, Dan?
Randy, yeah.
Hold on. Hold on a second. Sometimes it takes a second. Uh-oh, did we both do it now?
Maybe.
Okay, I'll let you, Dan, you unmute them. It takes a second for like it to register sometimes too. Did it work?
I tried. Let's try it again.
Dun, dun, dun. Hold on.
I don't know why it's that. There we go.
There we go. We got it.
Hi, Jake. I'm wondering if NAMI is affected by the United Way's changing their priorities in terms of funding from United Way. Or do you get money from United Way?
So I wouldn't be able to answer that one accurately just because the executive director, Anna Moffitt, she's the one that is more involved with, like, her oversight is fundraising and working with whatever contract or agreement we have with United Way. I mean, I'm certainly not unaware of the ways that they've shifted, but, you know, they rightfully so place a large priority on, you know, disparities. Especially with, you know, different races and different minority groups. And that's something we're working on, as well as how can we, especially right now, help individuals during that time or minorities in that group. But to answer your question, I just probably couldn't accurately answer that because that falls so much more under another department. And I just don't want to speak inaccurately about that.
Thank you.
Okay. I think we have Mary. Go ahead, Mary.
Okay. I have two questions. One question for the speaker or for anyone who knows, was Donna Murdoch one of the three women who helped found this? I think I remember hearing that. And I see Eileen has an answer for me.
Okay, Eileen.
Okay. I thought Donna was one of the founders of NAMI. But when you say it started in 77, I don't think she was in Madison, and she was a member of Prairie, or she is a member of Prairie still. I think she moved into Mel and Nina's house across the street, and I think that would have been in 85 or 86. I know she was on the board with NAMI here in the county for many years, and she did the newsletter for many years. She was that was really her main avocation for many years.
I know she became, I'm just looking at my membership list here, and she became a member of Prairie in January of 1989. So,
but she moved here before that.
Yeah, right. I just, that's my only time thing for her. And then this is unrelated. I keep track of who comes to services so we know how many. And those of you who aren't showing your picture, your video, I can't see if they're two of you or just the person whose name. So it would help us with our membership, with our attendance figures, which we do have to keep. I think probably Renee does that as well, but, you know, it helps to have two. Thank you.
Okay. I think Rachel had her hand up next. Go ahead, Rachel.
Yeah, thank you very much for the presentation, Jake. And I wondered if NAMI has any role in working with mental illness interface with the criminal justice system, since this has been a huge issue in the news lately, and there's so much awareness now of how our jails and prisons serve as the biggest psychiatric hospitals. So I just wondered if that's something that your organization participates in for advocacy in any way.
Absolutely. That's a really great point. I'm glad you asked that. So one thing I didn't mention or include is that one thing that the executive director and I worked on are crisis intervention team trainings and then crisis intervention partner trainings. So we have CIT and CIP. And what this is that we work with organizations or law enforcement departments to host either these week-long 40-hour trainings or these 16-hour trainings that span over 2 days. And really, we bring in professionals professionals from the medical background as well as law enforcement to be able to educate and help law enforcement better understand how to work with individuals with a mental health issue. Because, you know, it's our stance and our belief that someone who we shouldn't criminalize mental illness. Now, of course, there are things that, you know, if we're breaking the law, of course, there are times we need reprimanded, but I don't think, and we don't believe that the right path is to, you know, put them in the hands of law enforcement for, you know, a certain amount of time and sentence. It's to get them the mental health treatment that they need. And a huge part of that is also bringing individuals who have come into or have had experiences with law enforcement. And this is a really great thing I think that we offer, is that we give those individuals who have had those experiences the opportunity to share their story of what went well and what did not go well with law enforcement directly to have a better understanding, a direct understanding. So, you know, we have one for sure coming up with Sun Prairie Police Department. And I know John and Suzanne are going to be sharing their story with them as well as some others. And then we're also planning some with Mount Horeb and just other counties. And Dane County is actually very, very good at this. And we were supposed to have one, but obviously COVID happened and we didn't get to do the one with Dane County Sheriff's Office. But to answer your question, yeah, that's a huge initiative of ours, is how can we derail the track of this person's having a mental health crisis, and, you know, we don't need to take them to prison. We need to take them to a treatment facility, because that's going to have the more long-term effects that we want.
Thank you.
Anyone else? These are good questions.
Sure, I have a question that occurred to me while I was, during your presentation, you mentioned that you offer support to families of military personnel, and I know that they have an extensive network of support, you know, the VA and the Veterans Center, but I wondered, are you referred to from them, or is there some kind of a working relationship between the veterans groups and you, or is this something that people just find out separately from that?
So specifically what we offer to the family members and friends of veterans, you know, with the mental health issue, oftentimes it's PTSD, is a course called Homefront. And it's really equipping and helping the family members and loved ones, that surrounding support. And that's usually done in collaboration with the VA. So, you know, if we want to run that, or we are going to run that, we work with them to compile the list of that surrounding support who needs that education. And then we would do that, is typically how it is. So it's more of like a collaborative effort to have that, or to offer that support and education.
Thanks. Karen Deaton. Trying to get you on.
Getting there.
There we go.
Okay. I had a question about the sort of general education programs. Are they targeted to particular mental illnesses? Would there be a different program for someone whose child suffers from schizophrenia and someone whose child has anxiety or depression, or is it a general mental illness?
That's a great question. So there's not too much that we offer like that just hones in on specific. And I would say the reason for that is because there are a lot of times where you can be experiencing bipolar and also be experiencing depression. You can be experiencing schizophrenia and also be experiencing, you know, like something else. And so I think we take more of a general approach of, like, for example, we're getting ready to run peer-to-peer, which is a class for, like, if you yourself experience mental illness, you can do this to better learn how to kind of reach out for support. But it takes more of a general approach of, you know, even if you experience anxiety, depression, or schizophrenia, it's still going to be good for you to have a emergency plan. So there will be times within that general content, though, that we will specify, like, if you experience anxiety or if you experience depression, you know, these are some symptoms and these are some ways that you can find relief if you're experiencing that symptom. But we don't usually just spend and focus on one.
Mm-hmm. That makes a lot of sense. Thanks. Mm-hmm.
I think Mary and Patty have been raising their hand for a while.
Trying to unmute here.
If you muted yourself, Mary, you should be able just to unmute yourself too. I think if you had. Okay. Yep, there you go.
There's a NAMI facility right in our neighborhood on the near Winona Drive and the Beltline, or it's the one over a little bit further towards Seminole Highway on the Beltline. Is that administrative offices or what is that? Because it was, I don't think he mentioned that. I was a little distracted at a moment for a while, and so I'm not sure.
So that would be our NAMI Wisconsin. That's our state office.
Oh, that's a state office.
Yeah, so that one is where everything on the state level or just the higher up level is done there. So they don't provide any direct services or like the services that we would offer. They're more so of like just a higher up support for us. And then they do their what they do is more on the state level of like working with legislation and policy and things like that.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, Suzanne or John, did you want to ask a question?
Hold on,
what it was.
I just want to thank Jake very much for agreeing to do this, even though you had to get up early. Now you can take a longer bike ride.
No, right. I remember where it was, Jake. I helped out doing a suicide prevention thing in high schools. Now that everything's switched to Zoom, have you been able to interject a Zoom high school program for suicide awareness on Zoom? Or is, I guess that'd be pretty tough integrating all that.
When it came, because we started going more remote, and in quarantine, like March, and then April and May, we're like, all right, we're in lockdown. So we really didn't do much with the schools when that happened, because I think the school system then was just trying to figure out what they're even going to do.
Sure.
You know, so I think teachers were more focused, like, how can we adapt? I mean, there, of course, it's a priority of, like, how are our students going to be able to, but I think it was more so figuring out the logistics of how can we even educate and live from home all this time. But I know a lot of teachers from MMSD have reached out of, like, what can we plan for the upcoming fall and spring semester as our kids return, which I think I heard through the grapevine. I have to fact check it. Like, MMSD is going to be doing remote in the fall. But, you know, there's such a need, though, that we're now bringing on someone to kind of handle just specifically the youth programming. So a lot of that is we will certainly, now we can have someone who's more dedicated to doing all the ending the silence and all the youth programming. So I guess to answer your question is, we haven't really had the chance yet to integrate anything. We're preparing for when we have to in the fall.
I'm glad to hear it's moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I think that's probably our final question, and it works well. Thank you so much, Jake, for the presentation, because Suzanne and John are actually, well, Suzanne's going to read the closing words. So, and you're unmuted, so you can just go ahead.
Well, there you go.
There you go.
Okay. My whole life is always changing. My thoughts and brain keep rearranging until finally I'm stuck. Feelings and emotions run amok. Happiness just fades away. Peace of mind just cannot stay. Left with not much left to say, and I feel this every day. But I go on, just try living, though life can be unforgiving. I try to be fully driven and to view things as uplifting. Yes, all I've gone through was rough, and for real, enough's enough. But it's helped me deal with stuff, and it's helped to make me tough. I know I'll make it. I'm a survivor, and I can take it. I've got the desire. No, nothing that happened to me was minor, but it helped me grow and come out wiser.
Thank you so much.